This is Unfiltered, episode 41 for March 13th, 2013.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now! Bradley Manning in his own words. Today, we air a leaked audio recording of the imprisoned Army whistleblower who gave WikiLeaks hundreds of thousands of pages of classified documents. This is the first time his voice has been heard publicly since he was arrested nearly 3 years ago. This recording was surreptitious at his hearing last month, so listen carefully.
At first, I did not consider the video very special, as I had viewed countless other war porn type videos depicting combat. However, the recorded audio comments by the Air Weapons Team Perth and the second engagement in the video of an unarmed Mongo truck troubled me. It was clear to me that the event happened because the Air Weapons Team mistakenly identified Reuters employees as a potential threat, and that the people in the Mongo truck were really attempting to assist the wounded. People in the van were not a threat, but merely good Samaritans. The most alarming aspect of the video to me, however, was the seemingly delightful bloodlust the air weapons they appeared to have. They dehumanized the individuals they were engaging and seemed to not value human life by referring to them as, quote, dead bastards, unquote, and congratulating each other on the ability to kill in large numbers. At one point in the video, there's an individual on the ground attempting to crawl to safety. The individual is seriously wounded. Instead of calling for medical attention to the patient, one of the air weapons team crew members verbally asked for the wounded person to pick up a weapon so that he can have a reason to engage. For me, this seems similar to a child torturing hands with a magnifying glass. It's all a big mess, and I'm left wondering what these things mean and how it all fits together, and it burdens me emotionally. On about 21 February 2010, I used the WLO submission form and uploaded the documents. The WLO released the video on 5 April 2010.
Coming up on this week's episode of Unfiltered. On Tuesday, the Freedom of the Press Foundation published leaked audio from Bradley Manning's courtroom testimony, allowing the world for the first time to hear the voice of the 25-year-old Army private as he details leaking thousands of reports and cables to WikiLeaks. Then, U.S. intelligence officials just told a Senate hearing that cyber attacks and cyber espionage pose a greater potential danger to the U.S. national security than Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. We go after these claims. Plus, big drone money gets serious, your feedback, and much, much more in this week's episode of Unfiltered. Everyone, and welcome to Unfiltered, episode 41 of Jupiter Broadcasting's weekly show that's distracting you from all of that TV you shouldn't be watching. My name is Chris, and join us every single week is the always excellent Mr. Chase.
Hey, Chris. Hey, everybody. You know, I've been really distracted since Saturday when I picked up my new set of wheels. So I've been really distracted with seat warmers, automatic mirrors, and a moonroof.
Ooh.
So, yes.
You have an ability to listen to podcasts in such said vehicle?
Yes, I have an iPod dock and everything.
Nice. Well, then that works out pretty well because we have the perfect commuter show today.
Really? What kind of show would that be?
Well, it's a show full of content that's distracting you from all that TV. I just covered this, guys. I just covered that. Actually, you know what I wanted to say right off the top is that intro clip was pretty heavy and pretty hard to understand. It typically, you know, we don't play something that long, and typically we don't play something that ineligible isn't quite the right word, but you know what I'm saying.
Of course.
But that was a difficult call because obviously that's pretty historic. So this Tuesday, there was a reporter who was at Bradley Manning's testimony a month ago, and he was reading from a paper he wrote. It took him about an hour to read it, and that was just an excerpt of his testimony. And of course, one of the reporters there was wearing a wire and then leaked that audio to the Freedom of the Press Foundation.
Yep.
This clip gives us a little background about that.
A full audio recording of Bradley Manning telling a military court why he gave classified data to WikiLeaks has itself been leaked despite a court ban. Manning is heard accusing the US Army of not valuing human life in Iraq and comparing troops to children torturing ants with a magnifying glass. More on this now from RT's Tom Barton. He did use very strong words, didn't he, Manning, when describing the material he gave to WikiLeaks. What exactly did he say?
Hi there, Andy. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he used emotive language, especially as he worked through this over an hour of audio of his statement to the court describing his feelings. We've taken a couple of edited excerpts of that. One of them concerns this video from the cockpit of an Apache attack helicopter over Iraq. The two pilots, very eager to engage a group of what turned out to be civilians on the ground, killing 12 of them, including two Reuters journalists. A van then comes to try and help those shot in the first burst of firing, and the helicopter then engages that van as well.
Now, our show today is really going to have a lot on cybersecurity, CISPA, and a lot of the things that are going on. I don't know if you heard in the news, Michelle Obama's identity was hacked online.
Oh, my God. No way.
So we're going to dig into that. And, you know, that is a thread that this show has been following for a while. And we're going to connect a few dots in this week's episode. But I just wanted to spend a little bit of time at the top of the show just to sort of document this, because it is for me personally interesting to hear Bradley Manning's own voice. He doesn't sound like some sort of freedom fighter who's trying to stick it to the man. He just sounds like a 25-year-old kid. And I just wanted to play a little bit more of it, and then we'll move on.
I wrote the statement in confinement, so I'll start. The following facts are provided in support of the province inquiry for my court-martial, United States versus PSC, Bradley E. Manning. Personal facts. I am a 25-year-old private first class in the United States Army. My primary military occupational specialty, or PMOS, is 35 Foxtrot, intelligence analyst. I entered my active duty status on 2 October 2007. I enlisted with the hope of obtaining both real-world experience and earning benefits under the GI Bill for college opportunities. My recruiter informed me that I should select an MOS that complemented my interests outside the military. In response, I told him I was interested in geopolitical matters and information technology. He suggested I consider becoming an intelligence analyst.
I
wrote the statement.
Don't need to loop it. I just thought we'd play a little bit of it. I know this is a polarizing topic, and I know a lot of people have different opinions on what Bradley Manning did. Hearing it from him has been, it has sort of changed my hard stance I had on him a little bit.
So, what was your hard stance before?
I pretty much considered him to be fully in the wrong. Now, at a certain point, I have to look at it, the human situation, and if the system has to have people in it who expose this, and it, by doing some reading on it, you know, it looks like he tried to go the traditional New York Times route. He tried to go to the, you know, standard big news organizations, tried to do a controlled leak. They just wouldn't even give him the time of day. And then he uploaded documents himself to the WikiLeaks website.
Right.
And, I think if anyone in the chat room could give me a specific on what harm he's caused other than embarrassing the U.S. and exposing some of these things, I'd be willing to listen to it. But right now, I think he's a 25-year-old kid, and I could picture my son when he gets older, if he ever went into service and then discovered how, you know, bad things really are and what we're really doing around the world. And, you know, what Manning said he was attempting to do, and this is when he didn't even know he was being recorded, he didn't know it was on record or anything like this. He said that, you know, he wanted to make people aware of what the U.S. government does around the world, so that way we'd be asking ourselves, you know, do we support, as a country, do we support this counterterrorism program, etc.?
But is there a right or wrong way to do something like this? Is there a proper channel? Is WikiLeaks the answer for that channel? Was there no other outlet for him to go to?
Well, I mean, what's to say WikiLeaks? I mean, I think this is part of some sort of prejudice that we've built up over the years, because it's not one of the, it's not CNN, it's not NBC. All those places are corrupt. None of them are playing this audio right now, because none of them want to even pretend like this case even exists, because they've completely mismanaged all of the information that's come out in all of this. I mean, they haven't covered a ton of this stuff. And I think that kind of exposes why it couldn't have been them in the first place.
Right. That's
true. And, you know, the internet is fantastic at creating new ways to destroy old ways of doing things.
That's true.
And I don't know. I don't know. It's a very difficult position to be in, but I want to say, after listening to some of his clips, and we have his as much of the testimony as I can find linked in the show notes. You guys can just go there, and there's an embedded player available, or you can download it yourself. But it's pretty wild stuff.
You should.
All right, Chase, before we get into the big military stuff and the CISPA stuff and the CIA increasing its presence, let's talk a little bit about something that could be threatening the U.S.'s already rocky relationship with Pakistan, and it sort of puts us in a bad spot with Iran.
Now, Pakistan could become a victim of the American sanctions, which are meant to target Iran's energy sector. Washington's threatening penalties following the launch of a joint Iranian-Pakistani gas pipeline project on Monday. The deal will help to ease Pakistan's energy crisis, but Washington's concerned it will also enable Iran to sell more gas and undermine U.S. sanctions against it. Well, Ahmad Qureshi joins us now. He's the president of the lobbying group PAC Nationalist Forum. Thank you very much for joining us.
All right, so let's pause right here. So what he just said, and sort of a hard way to follow, is Pakistan and Iran are working together on an oil pipeline.
Okay.
And remember, there's a lot of sanctions against Iran right now.
I thought it was a gas pipeline.
Well, I mean, that's what you take the oil.
Natural gas.
Oh, it might be, actually. Yeah, that might be true.
Yeah.
So, but okay, here's the point that I want to focus in on, is they have a lobbyist from Pakistan in studio. So, I mean, what's this guy going to say, right? Of course he's going to be for it, right?
Sure, right. Yeah.
So, the interesting predicament it's going to put the U.S. in, because, you know, we have this strange setup with Pakistan where we talk out one side of our mouth and condemn certain things, and they condemn us, but then we're also paying them and droning people in Pakistan.
Look
all
at
the time.
Look at the ultimate. Who did we catch in Pakistan?
Right, right. Old Osama bin Laden. I mean, it died right there. So, anyways, the lobbyist just said, because one of the other problems we have is we kind of need to be able to travel through Pakistan to get things in and out of the Middle East. So
right.
What we'll probably do is we'll make an exception and let Pakistan buy and sell whatever it is, oil or natural gas.
It was natural gas.
But yeah. All right, Mr. Chase, I just thought that's kind of a little interesting dynamic that people end up be put in there. So I wanted to cover that a little bit before
it's
we got
okay.
rolling. And I think that's probably one of those stories we'll just track for a little bit. All right. Well, before we get into the meat of today's episode, which is going to be a really big show, I wanted to stop and thank the two contributors we got since last week's episode.
Yeah.
Now, two, we were hoping for a little more.
Well, I was hoping to pass our episode number because we were at our episode or getting close to it. But that's okay. We still love all of you.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm actually feeling pretty good about it because I thought it was going to be none. And then both of these guys came in kind of at the 11th hour, like yesterday and today, we got the two donors. So I was like, oh, we got some. Like, I thought we were going to come on here and have none, and I was feeling really bummed about that. So thank you to Andrew A. and Adam B., who signed up this week. But Chase, we've also got an email from Steve.
Yeah, that's right. Steve wrote in. He said, hey, Chris, Chase, I'm a longtime listener of Jupiter's broadcasting shows from its stowed days. Yesterday, I decided to subscribe to Unfilter, as I love the show. Although the content isn't local to me as a New Zealander, I find that it's good to keep informed to what's happening in the rest of the world, and the U.S. is a big player. Your show is both informative and entertaining, and I hope it continues for a long time. Once I received the receipt of my subscription from PayPal, I noticed that for some reason, they excluded my name.
Uh-oh.
I was listening to the show live today and heard that you had an anonymous subscriber. At a guess, that's me.
Correct, sir.
Yes. I'm interested in the pre-show content that the subscribers get, and so I'm not sure how to access this. Another issue that I used to have, an account at Jupiter Broadcasting's forums, but I've forgotten my username and password. You might need a rat there.
Yeah, that's a pre-show clip.
I've tried to recover my password using the email address above, and the username is Raven Tiger, but it fails. Can you please help me?
All right.
Many thanks. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you.
Steve.
So, Steve, thanks for contributing to the show. We really appreciate that. And you will get an email tonight with a link to download the Subscribers Supporters show. And it will include probably about 20, 30 minutes. Last week it was about 45 minutes of additional clips that just can't fit in the show. There's just too many clips.
There's so much.
They're really good stuff. And a lot of times they're stuff that builds on what we cover in this episode. So after the episode of Unfilter, if you find yourself wanting more show,
go check your inbox if you're an Unfiltered supporter, because
absolutely,
you get it. And so to a second question, I am murdering our form with a burning passion. I have machine guns. I mean, I am going like crazy. I've played way too many video games, and now I'm going after our forms. Yeah. So your account's not going to work for a while. However, we do have a Jupiter Colony Google Plus community. If you go over to the Google Plus and search for Jupiter Colony, you'll find a community. There's an Unfiltered section over there. That's a great way to talk back to us if you're not on the subreddit over at unfiltered.reddit.com. But that's also another forum where you can chat with us and tell us what's up. Now, Chase.
Yes, sir.
Because we didn't get a very good showing, and I would like to get as many subscribers as we have episode numbers.
Are you saying, Chris, that there might be an easier opportunity for people to get involved?
I'm a businessman, Chase, and when sales are down, I got to do what every good businessman does. I'm going to lower the rates.
You
got to
clear out the inventory.
Crazy Chris is lowering the price for while.
How crazy are you going to be, Chris?
Not $10, Chase. Not even $9, Chase.
Oh, my God. How much?
If you sign up for a limited time so we can get just a few more subscribers, whatever comes first, 42 subscribers or next week's episode.
Okay. All right.
Whatever comes last. Wait, here's what I'm going to do. I'll guarantee I'll keep it open until next week's episode.
Okay.
All right, but
But how much, Chris?
$7.99 a month.
What? No, come on.
We're going to lower the $13.33 price for you supporters, you investors, for probably 1 week only to $7.99 to see if we can get a few more people in who couldn't afford the $13.33. You know, I started thinking about...
You're crazy.
Well, I am crazy because...
You're crazy.
One of the complaints we've got is $13.33 a month to support the show is too much money. And then I realized... You pay so much more money than that for your stupid TV service that makes you dumb and makes you believe the propaganda that we are specifically unfiltering. You pay so much more for that.
And you pay a lot for going out to eat.
And the problem is this mass-produced junk content that is distributed to millions that just sit there with their brains attached to the bright box, they are deferring the cost because there's so many of them. So you guys don't realize the actual cost of producing content because you're having it shovel-fed to you by the manufacturing industry that is the media. Whereas we're actually handcrafting this content. As ridiculous as that sounds, it's actually an apt analogy. This is sort of artisan shows here where we're building them brick by brick. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's why it's $13.33. Because if we can get 133 of you, then we will finance a single day.
Yes.
One single day of production of this show. That won't even cover our nut completely, but at least won't make this show a complete profit loss. You know, it'll be hopefully get close to breaking even. So we need more people. And for 1 week only, in the show notes, you will find a link for $7.99 subscriptions.
Boom!
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 It's not going to help us get to our goals fast, I'll be honest. But
it's all right.
You know what? I also, just as a business person, can't sit here and let the show continue to bleed. So.
But you gotta let people a chance to get involved at a lower stage.
Pow. Pow. All right, Chase, let's talk about something that's been a favorite topic of ours. We've covered this for a while, the increasing militarization of the CIA.
Oh, my God.
They're essentially becoming another branch of the armed services. And good news, they're getting another shot in the arm.
The CIA is reportedly increasing its operations inside Iraq. According to the Wall Street Journal, CIA operatives are replacing U.S. military forces and working with Iraq's counterterrorism service. The purported aim is to help fight al-Qaeda in Iraq and prevent a spillover from Syria's internal conflict. The CIA's role in the Middle East appears to be expanding overall. The agency is operating a drone base in Saudi Arabia and training Syrian rebels in Jordan.
Yeah, this is really... So it's a couple of things. It's about keeping Iraq from falling apart. In fact, some of these CIA op guys will just work for the Iraqi government. They won't be taking their orders from us. They'll be taking their orders from Iraqi officials.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm sure we could still call them and be like, hey, don't do that. But that's actually how the arrangement's going to be. But what this is even more about, really, is it's about keeping the three borders by Syria sort of under control and monitored, making sure there's not these spillovers and all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of things in play here. Interestingly enough, people have also said that weapons that were stashed in Libya and you know, Benghazi and places like that have been filtered into Syria via the CIA officials around the Syrian border. So they could also be sort of participating in sort of the arms funneling that's going on to the rebels.
Is this kind of like a bait and switch for us Americans? Because, you know, we think we're pulling out, we're getting out of the Middle East. And all of a sudden, there's more CIA guys going
more
in
contractors,
there.
More drones.
Yeah.
You know, it's
is this
what it is?
Press bait and switch? What is
it's
this?
A spin down of the traditional America approach, with the physical boots on the ground and a spin-up of the intelligence-driven, militarized intelligence-driven, drone-backed approach that we now seem to have, where we think we can spread out even more because we're using technology.
Technology.
Yeah. Speaking of, we're just moving right along because I'm just dying to get to the cyber stuff.
I know.
Speaking of the cyber stuff, wow, did this blow up this week. Obviously, we've been following the cyber threats for... Yeah. Ever. I mean, we've been really following the story since it began. So this has really, really kind of been something to watch it progress. Here's where we landed this week. Monday, NBC rolls out this report.
In our news of this day back home, the nation's intelligence agencies told Congress today that cyber attacks and espionage have now moved ahead of terrorism.
What?
As the top threat Americans now face.
What? You like that?
What? So first you're allowing knives through airport security. And now, you're right over there.
You're right.
And now, terrorism is now a number two on the top three. I mean, come on.
Cyber terrorism is a bigger threat than Al-Qaeda. A bigger threat than
remember,
Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda's network of affiliates
right.
and stations all
right.
over the globe.
And supporters
yeah. are diminishing.
Yeah.
And so we need to have a new shift of fear.
Though they hastened to add, no catastrophic attack is thought to be imminent.
Oh.
Much of the concern involves China. As you may know, that nation's military has been accused of hacking attacks against...
Got to slip the China in there. It's almost like if we had a bingo card of like cyber attack stuff.
No. You're thinking too old here,
okay.
too mature.
What do we need?
Drinking game.
Yeah, we totally need like a cyber war drinking game.
Cyber
right?
war drinking game.
So with cyber China attack would be like two shots. Or, I mean, I don't know. We'd get plastered.
That's difficult. I mean, yeah. You have a shot.
A range of American industries. The Pentagon's now forming more than a dozen different teams to guard this nation in cyberspace.
That is a huge, huge bombshell that old Ryan Williams just drops in there. And we'll come back to that little
slips it in
golden nugget here in a minute. But let's jump over to CNN because, you know, one of the things we like to do on the Unfiltered program is we'll pull in a lot of the different news sources and then sort of do a meta-analysis of what everybody's saying, right?
Right.
From the nation's power grid to online banking, the U.S. economy is utterly reliant on the Internet.
Oh.
The Pentagon is now watching the cyber threat to the economy every minute.
Anybody guess who that is? Anybody guess who that is?
I don't know.
We've seen the attacks on Wall Street over the last 6 months grow significantly. Over 140 of those attacks over the last 6 months.
In the face of growing cyber attacks, many from China, President Obama recently signed an executive order to improve cybersecurity.
We cannot look back years from now.
No.
And wonder why we did nothing in the face of real threats to our security and our economy.
A recent investigation even pinpointed this building in China.
The building.
The house is part of
again.
A shadow.
I know, take another shot.
Chinese military unit responsible for thousands of...
Now, who that was just given away by the way she said military. We'll ask the chat room in a minute. But chat room, see if you can place who it is that's talking, the gal.
...hacks into American business and government agencies.
China's massive campaign to steal technology, business practices, intellectual property, and business strategies through cyberspace continues, and it continues relentlessly.
For the first time, the president's national security advisor saying cyber attacks are now the number one U.S. issue with the Chinese government.
Beijing should take serious steps to investigate and put a stop to these activities.
The administration's new strategy to deal with it all, overcome privacy issues, and share more information about attacks between government and business.
Oh, overcome privacy issues. I wonder what that means. All right, let's roll the chat room here, Chase. Did anybody in the chat room guess who it was?
No. I don't think so. I mean, Hammy says Candy. That's not Candy.
Candy Crawley, that's a good guess.
That's not Candy.
No, Right Network. Right Network.
Yeah.
We'll give it one more spin here. Linux King says Carl Levin, but that was one of the dudes.
Yeah. Lindsey Graham?
Nope, not Lindsey Graham either, although sometimes Lindsey Graham's a bit of a...
And it's not Erin Burnett, because I know that voice.
Oh, no, yeah. Besides, Erin Burnett, she's always on here talking about chicken.
I love chicken.
She loves
it,
chicken.
It was Barbara Starr. She's the military Pentagon correspondent for CNN. Now, did you notice she mentioned they just have to overcome privacy issues and things like that?
It's a minor thing, Chris. You got to realize... When the security of America is at stake here, you know, we have to do whatever we can.
Whatever.
Now, and if you're not doing anything wrong, I mean, what do you have to hide?
Nothing. I got nothing. And I got to tell you, the only problem is, you know, I hear what Barbara's saying, and I hear what Brian's saying.
Yeah.
Cyber is real scary.
You have to be afraid of China.
I'm not afraid right now. But you think maybe we could make me afraid?
Well,
can we try to, like... Maybe what we can do.
I got an idea.
All right.
What we can do is we can bring up, celebrities.
Okay.
And we can, talk about how maybe their accounts got hacked.
Whoa. I mean, if it could happen to them, it could happen to me.
Right, like Twitters or Facebooks or emails. I mean, if we made it personalized for you.
Wow.
Gosh, then I think you would be affected.
New tonight, police say hackers have posted what appears to be financial details and other private information about some of the most powerful, famous people in the world.
Whoa.
At least 11 people were targeted, including Vice President Joe Biden and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Social security numbers for actor Mel Gibson and rapper Jay-Z were also put up for all to see. It's unclear why these people were targeted. The FBI says they are aware of the site, but so far have not started an investigation.
Wow. You know why they haven't started an investigation?
Why, Chase?
Conspiracy bacon.
Okay, Chase. All right, here. Let me throw out. I got a fresh thing of bacon right here for you.
You know what? You know why? You know why they haven't started an investigation?
I'm thinking maybe because they're too busy trying to fry bacon.
Because they're the ones doing it.
Oh, that is a conspiracy.
That's a conspiracy.
Ooh, that's pretty crunchy bacon there, Chase.
I know, that's really... Well, you know, remember, part of my presidency, Chris, is, you know...
Oh, that's right, the bacon platform.
The bacon platform and getting the Department of Bacon created.
Right.
I know I can't create it myself, but I can encourage that growth.
Maybe... We probably don't want to call it socialized bacon. Maybe we'll call it bacon care. Maybe we can call it bacon care, okay? I think we'll get bacon care plans.
Bacon care.
All right. So now I'm worried because I'm thinking maybe hackers could get me.
Now remember, Chris, we just heard they're going at...
Celebrities.
Celebrities.
Right.
You have a Twitter, Chris, right?
I'm probably not safe.
Are you worried about losing your social security number?
Absolutely.
Because anyone can.
Yeah. Wait. Is this an advertisement for LifeLock?
It should be. This is RT scaring us. This is just them. Listen to how they take the recent celebrity, quote-unquote, hacks, quote-unquote, and then try to... I mean, you listen to this clip and you tell me, but to me it just sounds like they're trying to scare the crap out of us.
Obama. In an alarming security breach, hackers posted social security numbers, mortgage amounts, credit card info, car loans, banking information...
I'm not reading a script.
Oh, she's horrible.
Potentially embarrassing credit facts of major public figures, including the First Lady and Vice President Joe Biden, rapper Jay-Z, and Mel Gibson. The information matches rapper...
Wait, one more thing. Who cares about Mel Gibson? Isn't he like the guy who is the anti-Semite who said really,
you know,
really bad things
to
his ex-wife?
It's got to be just about celebrity recognition factor, I guess.
Who? I mean, God, man, Mel Gibson, you would think they would find a better celebrity to pull out of the hat. Wait. Red Book.
Maybe
Red
he's got
Book
it.
Time.
All right. Okay.
Red Book.
I got it.
In the next year, Mel Gibson will be back with a new movie.
Like a new hack movie, maybe even? Like a cyber war
maybe,
movie? Do you want to go that far?
No, I won't get that specific. But, you know, he's been out of the entertainment world for a while. He hasn't done anything lately. His name has now just been dropped on the news, very interestingly.
Yep.
So I would say in the next year, Mel Gibson is back.
Mel's back in a year.
I got it. All right. You know, I'm going to go far-fetched.
Okay.
He's back. Lethal Weapon.
Really?
Yep.
You want me to actually write Lethal Weapon down, or do you want me to just say movie?
Nah, Lethal Weapon. Do it.
Jeez, all right. I'm putting it in there. You know what I was actually thinking about today would be really fun? If for episode 100 we just replay through the Red Book and just kind of own up to how we do. Wouldn't that be cool for episode 300? All right, so I'm writing it in there. For
300 or 100?
Oh, 100.
Actually, for 100, I think we need to show our faces.
Oh, yeah?
I think
people have seen him before.
Well, I know, but I mean, I think we need to dress up. We'll make it pro.
Oh, we should do it. Oh, well, let's talk about that.
We'll talk about
all
later.
Right, so...
if we're thinking
let's, on the... Let's have her... we got to get more scared. So we got Mel Gibson. We got Jay-Z.
You're pouring
it on
like syrup.
Databases and appears to be authentic. Through this, we've learned rapper Jay-Z has an American Express card with $227,000 in charges on it.
Nice.
And the fact that his cable bill went into collections for non-payment.
He just forgot.
I know, he's busy.
He's busy having a baby.
He's just got to brush his shoulders off.
Michelle Obama had a personal line of credit for $800 at Banana Republic.
Michelle Obama's got a Banana Republic. Okay, all right, okay.
That's great.
Okay.
Until 2003, and was very near charged to its limit. Or that Kim Kardashian had a mortgage payment of $26,000 a month.
Bam.
Well, she also has a very expensive house.
Now it's easy to learn who has a gambling addiction or a medical problem.
I like how she's just throwing these in there.
But you know what? But like, listen how she talks.
I know.
You know, they have a medical problem.
Now it's really easy and they can spy on you.
Like, snap it.
You know, that's just out there.
Is this OMG Insider? Is this where you pulled this clip from?
This is from Russia Today.
She must be looking really good.
And, you know, I just think it's interesting because I always am curious what Russia Today's motive is, because they're financed by the Russian government. You got to figure they got an angle. And they're really pushing this cyber stuff. They're really spooking people.
It's all in black and white on the credit card bill for the entire world to see. Yesterday, we told you that data mining companies are gathering your information to sell in the open market. In this way, celebrities are just like you. They find out their personal information is just as vulnerable to hacking and selling as the rest of us.
So there you go. Celebrities are just like you. We're all hacked. We're all vulnerable. Now, every network's got to get a piece of this, right? Every network's got to get in there.
Wait, that was Russia Today, right?
Yeah.
All right. So next one, what does CNN back at? Or Fox? No, Fox.
We've got an ABC, CNN, and NBC coming up. Fox didn't really contribute anything too out of the ordinary.
They can't scare the old people enough. That's the problem.
The old people just don't get it.
That's what they don't understand.
Yeah, so they don't cover it too heavily.
That's true.
ABC's George Stephanopoulos sat down with President Obama today for an exclusive interview. President opening up about a story in the news that has touched him and his family.
That background noise is Diane, as sober as I have ever seen her. I mean, she's looking like she probably hasn't even popped a pill for at least 24 hours. And she's sitting like in front of the Pope or something. She's out on location.
The First Lady, along with other familiar names, appear to be the victims of a hack attack.
Was there a video associated with this clip? Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Did you see it? Did you watch it?
The hack attack.
Was there a logo? Was there a hack attack logo?
There will be. So when you hear the transition, there's a hack attack, like words that come up. But because they're on location, they didn't like have like super overdone visuals.
Too bad.
And Diane's looking good. I mean, best I've seen her look.
Well, she's off the pills from the president's inauguration.
Crystal clear eyes. Looking real sharp.
Just correspondent Pierre Thomas has been tracking this story all day and first brings us the latest.
Hello.
Right this there. Sinister-looking website is posting what hacked...
Sinister-looking website.
Sinister.
It's a black website with a picture of a girl on it and red text.
I was going to say, it doesn't look like Jupiter Broadcasting, right?
No, that's that wouldn't be sinister. That would be deviant. Scary.
Scary.
Aggressive. I don't know.
Go to your thesaurus.
I'm just trying to think, like, I mean, yeah. Some sort of hyperbole.
I love how they, like, make things, like that are cyber and evil so, like... Oh my God, this is so wrong,
right.
So edgy.
Made by people in dungeons.
Hackers claim it's the social security number and credit report of the First Lady.
Oh.
The FBI and Secret Service are investigating, and today in an exclusive interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, President Obama would not say if the information is authentic, but confirmed authorities are trying to find out what happened.
We should not be surprised that if you've got hackers who want to dig in and devote a lot.
I like this dig in.
They're sitting in their dungeons.
Dig in. I think that's good.
You'll see.
With the blackout curtains.
You see, Chris, you know, sitting in the dungeons, you have these kids that are playing violent video games.
They're going to dig in.
And what they're digging in and what's going on here, Chris, is they're looking in.
Hello, everyone.
At the stuff online, you see.
That's kind of what he says, because they actually, they edit him very heavily.
Resources. That they can access people's private information. It is a big problem.
Right into the White House.
And again, I'm not confirming that that's what happened. You've got websites out there right now that sell people's credit cards. that
what?
Have been stolen.
Michelle
what?
Obama
what?
Is not the only potential victim.
Crap.
Those targeted are a curious mix of the powerful and famous. Vice President Biden.
Not the rich and famous.
Powerful?
Rich is a bad word now. Right?
Powerful? Wait. Mel Gibson is not powerful.
We don't want to talk about the fact that wealth distribution is so poor off. Get it?
Oh, God.
That we're just going to call them the powerful, not the rich.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Beyonce, Kim Kardashian, the FBI director, and LA's police chief.
Oh, wait. I love that we don't mention their names.
I know. We live in a world where Kim Kardashian and Beyonce get name dropped, but the head of the LA Police Department and the director of the FBI, not worth a name.
Yeah, this is what they go. Beyonce, Jay-Z, Neil Clark. You know, it's like, who's
I guess,
that?
Right? Yeah, I guess.
Tonight, Equifax, a credit reporting agency, confirmed that unauthorized and fraudulent access occurred involving four high-profile people.
What?
But they declined to identify them.
Aww.
Law enforcement officials are trying to determine how much of the information on the website is authentic and how it might have been obtained. Pierre Thomas, ABC News, Washington.
Thanks, Pierre. So, you know, I'm hearing this, and I'm starting to think, gosh, this doesn't really sound like a hack.
No.
This sounds like they just collected a bunch of information and posted it in one spot, right?
Right.
So I'm starting to dig around a little bit. I'm starting to have my suspicions, and I notice Kevin Mitnick swings by CNN.
Oh, yeah, the security expert, you know, the hacker that was in prison for a long period of time.
He was rolled out at another network, too, and I didn't grab the clip from there. But this one's pretty good, and, you know, CNN, they always like to take the story a little bit further.
Right.
Kevin Mitnick is a former computer hacker, joins me now. And so, Kevin, we wanted to take this story one step further here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let me just say this, public records, but what I did for this segment... Give you permission with my first, middle, and last name to see what information you could dig up on me
online.
All
right, so what I did is I took your name and put it into the computer to see what happens. And I put it on all three major search engines. And I was able to find out that you have a Facebook profile that is locked.
dare I ask, without giving it away, tell me what...
Well, I mean, you found a lot more, but it's essentially how the segment goes.
Yeah. What you found?
Well, I found your social security number, your date of birth, your cell phone numbers, the addresses that you lived at since,
Now,
did he go to Intellius?
So, I'm listening to Mitnick, I'm going, he found these? Okay, now, Mitnick, you know, mass respect for his past, but he's not really super savvy current anymore. He's got a lot of great concepts and practices social engineering, but he's not super savvy anymore. I'm like, so Mitnick did this, huh? Now listen to her reactions as he starts listing this stuff off. They're like just so mismatched.
It's 1998, every address and every phone number at that address.
Wow. Okay.
And really, as Scott McNeely once said, the ex-CEO of Sun Microsystems, you have no privacy, get over it.
Yeah.
And companies...
Clearly not. No. I found my social.
I found your social. It took all about 1 minute. There's databases on the internet that information brokers use and private investigators use. And to do these types of searches costs from 25 cents to a dollar. And anyone can get this information about anyone.
Where's he going?
Really, the milk is spilt.
The milk is spilt, and there's no putting it back in. Now, I'm thinking, that Mitnick discussion sounds like all of this was like one of those, become a private researcher and, you know, look up somebody's past. I've tried these out just for fun before. So I did a little digging, and I found NBC's report, which actually seemed to have some of the best nuggets of information, I guess.
The website posts what appear to be their social security numbers, addresses, and phone numbers, and in some cases what look like their actual credit reports, where the other information appears to come from.
The credit report is the key to everything. If a bad guy has your credit report, he can commit almost any kind of identity theft.
Some of the data is the kind that can be bought online from commercially available websites once a social security number and date of birth are known. Among other victims, Al Gore, Sarah Palin, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, singer Beyonce.
Name drop.
The data company Equifax says at least...
All these reports, in fact, I cut out in a few spots. I think I cut this NBC report short to cut out a few of the name drops. That was like the second round of name drops.
At least some of their stolen information appears to come from what it called fraudulent and unauthorized access to the annual creditreport.com website, set up to let consumers see their own credit reports once a year for free.
Behind this website is data
I've used this service before, so I'm like, crap.
Belonging to 200 million Americans. So even if people never visit the website, criminals can break in and access any one of their credit reports.
The data thieves apparently knew enough about their targets to answer the personal questions required to get access to the credit reports.
And there it is. So they knew Michelle Obama's mother's maiden name. They knew Beyonce's pet's name, whatever it was. And they
this is social engineering.
They
That's
accessed
all this
their free creditreport.com accounts.
This isn't hacking.
No. And it was on every news outlet, hacking, 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 hack attacks. And remember, we started with NBC, right? The biggest story of the homeland this week.
Our news of this day back home, the nation's intelligence agencies told Congress today that cyber attacks and espionage have now moved ahead of terrorism as the top threat Americans...
Screw right? knives on airplanes.
Right?
Just
so,
screw it.
Obviously, it's no coincidence that that comes out, and then you have the series of reports that are way over-dramatizing
wow.
what actually happened. Well, go figure. Go figure. There's a little bit of behind the scenes what's really going on here. There's a deeper story. As it turns out, CISPA is on its way back up. People are working on CISPA again.
Yes,
and there were
yes.
hearings up on the Hill today about cybersecurity.
We'll begin on Capitol Hill, where hearings were held today on the issues of cybersecurity and transparency. The Obama administration has placed cybersecurity on the top of the agenda, but there's a heated debate over how to tackle the issue while protecting citizens' privacy. And when it comes to transparency, the Obama administration...
So privacy is a loaded word, because what privacy is really about is CISPA. CISPA is all about private companies sharing cyber threat information with the federal government and being indemnified for anything they might share. So if they share something and that batch of data they includes a login for one of your websites that you use, or includes all of your email or all of your web browsing history because they need to know what everyone in the area of Marysville was doing. There's no recourse you will ever have as a citizen. There's no
screwed.
You can never go to your ISP and say, I didn't want you to do that. They are indemnified.
Yep.
Just like the telcos are indemnified for spying on all of our phone calls. They want to do this to the ISPs now. That's what this is about. This is about indemnifying the ISPs and
but
all
Chris,
the other companies.
But Chris, meme conspiracy is they're doing this already, right?
Well, probably. But you got to, just like they were already doing the wiretapping before they had the legal framework in place to actually do it, they're probably already doing this before they have a legal framework. So okay, now this is starting to make sense.
The administration has vowed to be more open, but from the secret drone campaign to cracking down on whistleblowers, some question just how transparent the administration really is. For more on the developments on Capitol Hill today, I'm joined now by RT producer Adriana Ucero and RT correspondent Megan Lopez.
All right, this is going to get a little meaty and a little slow, but this just happened, these cyber hearings, and they're going to kind of give us a little overview of what was covered in these hearings. So instead of playing through 2-3 hours worth of clips, we're just going to listen to their summary.
As welcome, ladies. So I'm going to start off with you, Adriana, because you were at this cybersecurity hearing today. Mm-hmm. And of course, it is becoming more of a priority these days. What did lawmakers target as the biggest cyber threats that face the U.S. today?
You know, Liz, it was interesting. There was sort of, I mean, we're all used to hearing the same old rhetoric of certain state actors that are behind many of the attacks that are now, currently affecting the U.S. However, in this case, it was interesting. That was kind of dialed down. In this hearing, per se, what we were talking about or seeing more so was state actors versus domestic actors. So, in other words, the Department of Justice was actually warning against local threats much more than those abroad.
So, am I reading this right? When she says local threats, she means like citizens, right?
Yeah. Who else would she be referring
to? I think she means citizens. Yeah, okay. All right. So we got to monitor citizens. Okay.
So it was sort of interesting to see that it was sort of like a change of the script in that regard. So it was very, very interesting. They still want to be able to keep those accountable that make all this trouble, but also protect us in the process.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I want to play because I understand that you spoke to Mr. Orrin Kerr, a law professor from Georgetown University.
Vocal fry.
Take a listen to what he had to say, and we'll weigh in on it right after.
Mm-hmm. Within the government, they think, well, we trust us. We will do a good job exercising this discretion. The problem is those of us on the outside don't have that assurance that they're actually going to exercise their discretion wisely. And you never know. One administration is going to be replaced by another administration, and there are lots of different federal prosecutors out there, and we don't want to give tools to any one prosecutor that person should not have.
Okay, so going along with what Mr. Carr was saying there, can you talk about this fear of cyber legislation kind of going too far and possibly...
Well, who would be afraid of that?
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing to hide, Chris.
No.
Probably giving too much power to prosecutors.
I mean, that was sort of the entire feeling throughout the hearing. It was, you know, they're talking about that measured approach. And a lot of legislators were worried that... our existing laws are already broad enough that in order, you know, having to introduce different types of legislation might not be the answer. The answer might be to just limit and narrow the scope of the things that already exist. So that includes the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. That includes all the different types of legislation that already exist now and try to work within the parameters that already exist. So that was very interesting to hear.
Between the lines I'm reading, we already have all of the legal stuff in place. If we just apply a few tweaks, we've got it. We don't need this new stuff.
Yeah,
I could be wrong, but that's what I was picking up from there. Now, this, of course, also hot on the heels. The next thing they followed up with a report on the expansion of the Pentagon's plans for cyber military.
We were just talking about cybersecurity moments ago, and General Keith Alexander is the man that leads the U.S. Cyber Command and the National Security Agency. And just yesterday, he told the U.S. Armed Services Committee that by 2015, 40 online support teams will be ready for action. 13 of those units will be designed, or designated rather, to attack other countries.
You hear that?
This after a highly publicized...
We're going to have 13 units by 2015. With their intention is to be ready to attack other countries. Okay.
Cool. Hey, well, it prevents having boots on the ground, Chris. Right. This is to keep our men and women safe.
Yeah.
Cyber attacks on American companies and military computers.
Oh, so
cyber.
You might notice, if you're news savvy, that we've played a lot of Russia Today clips. Now, the reason for that is because,
Why? No one's talking about it, Chris?
Right. We're talking about leaked Manning testimony. We're talking about CIA increases was Democracy Now!. All of these things we're talking about, with the exception of some of the cyber stuff, the U.S. media is just completely ignoring this week, and instead they're running with the Pope stories. You know, what really is kind of consuming the news cycle.
Are you saying that they're running the distraction stories, Chris? Is
I don't
it
know
distraction?
If I want to. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
You don't really need as much Pope coverage as they
well,
have
especially.
Given.
I mean, you know, Pope, this has been well documented.
Got smoke live cams.
Oh God. This has been well documented that, you know, the media, they run this fine balance, especially when they're embedded with governments and embedded in the White House, that if they report things in a certain way, they can lose access.
Yeah.
And they're walking a line between journalism and being appeasing.
Well, and you know what I thought was interesting? So in the ABC clip where George sits down with Obama in that exclusive interview.
Very exclusive.
Yeah. Obama won't actually say Michelle's stuff has been compromised.
No.
He says, I can't confirm that. That's what he says.
Right.
Now, if this is about the fact that there's reportedly right now 100 detainees in Guantanamo that are on a 5-week hunger strike right now, nobody's talking about that. I don't have any clips of that, right? So they could ask Obama about that when George is sitting down there and saying, hey, you know, you were supposed to close Guantanamo.
Celebrities are more important, Chris. You don't understand how this is supposed to work.
What's super funny is the administration is about to go out and go on the international stage and talk about how we are, like, making these strives in human rights.
Yeah,
and here we have this hunger strike going on. Nobody's talking about it. It's ridiculous. But instead, they are talking about this cyber stuff. They are running the flag up of trying to scare everybody about this cyber stuff. And this is all about reducing boots on the ground, reducing traditional military expenses, but keeping that machine fed, keeping that monster going. And the problem is they're getting on our turf. They're getting in the internet. They're going to start mucking stuff up. They're going to start screwing up the web. And they're going to industrialize it.
Man.
And this is, there's no coincidence that these hearings are going on this week. And by the way, there's going to be a big Get Out and Stop CISPA effort that the EFI, who's
EFF?
EFF's putting, right, EFI. not the boot firmware. Not the boot firmware. The EFF is putting out for next week because the hearings are going to continue next week. So Monday they have like a bunch of people getting together to go out there and try to, you know, contact the representatives and generate some interest.
So who's sponsoring this bill?
I don't know. I think it was sitting in a House committee or something.
Why is it even back? I mean, this is crap.
It's a real problem, Chase.
Because right? You know what? This is, you know why it's back? Because this is, you guys open your freaking eyes here for a minute. This is what's going on. You have all the news agencies that are pushing the celebrity cyber, you know, hacking crap.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've laid the foundation. They're trying to build a house. And the house they're building is CISPA.
Yep.
Because they have the entertainment companies and they have the private, they have private groups that, you know what, they want this government protection if this thing's going to go through.
And you think, do you think, like, you know, the government plays a long game. The government, the Fed, federal government plays a real long game. And I think they see an opportunity to build some industry here. And if they wait too long, is it possible the general populace will become more educated about how the internet works, about how this technology works?
Absolutely.
And they won't buy it? But we still have enough people that are scared of the cyber threat that they can push this stuff?
So now they have to push, and I know this is conspiracy-ish, but they got to push the celebrity angle. They have to lay the foundation that way to say, well, maybe if we can get people like Michelle Obama, so let's bring that up.
Well, and they do it at all layers. You got the experts out there like Kevin Mitnick who have geek cred, and they're like, oh shit, if Kevin Mitnick's saying it, right? And then you have Beyonce out there scaring all of the dumbasses who are paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get
her
fed
on Twitter
from the chat box, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh god, Beyonce? So like they're doing this multi-spectrum fear approach about it all. And in reality, all that happened is some Russian guys went through and collected all of the information by figuring out Beyonce's mother's middle name or whatever the secret question was, and they just consolidated everything on one page.
That's
all that happened.
It's social engineering.
Yeah.
It's all it is.
And
not a hack. It's not like they cracked into systems using modems and hacking lines of code that you would see on a freaking movie or something. This is not how it happened.
I want to talk a little bit about, I don't have a clip for it, but I want to talk a little bit about this drone situation that's going on here in Washington State. Now, remember, we covered the story.
We talked about Seattle, how they were dropping the drone program.
Yep, and they weren't going to use with the police force. They weren't going to be using the drones. And
well, we did play a clip, I believe,
from
it was
the
last
lobbyist.
Week from the lobbyists.
Right. So, continuing on that thread, Boeing has sort of stepped up and started pushing back and saying, you know, this drone lobby could bring a lot of jobs to your Washington State here,
Absolutely.
Governor Inslee. And so Boeing's kind of saying, hey, you know those regulations about privacy you want to put in place on drones? Let's take another look at those. And they're kind of derailing the sort of momentum that's been built up that was building around keeping sort of tight controls and regulations on drone use.
Right.
Kind of an interesting little development. So it's something we're watching. I don't really have a clip for it yet, but I have a feeling we're probably going to hear more about it. And here we are, right? It's our home state.
Yeah, well, what they're trying to do here in Washington State, which is also happening in California and a few other states,
they're
trying to get test approval from the FAA that would allow certain airports, like one out in Central Washington, I believe Moses Lake of Freida, so they could be a test base for these craft.
Yeah, and that would bring
are big drones, by the way. I mean, we got a picture on the enhanced feed. If you're not watching, it's a big aircraft.
Yeah, it is big. Like, and so they think what Boeing is basically saying is, man, this industry is going to blow up, and if you guys get to be one of the first few certified testing airports, man, you're going to make so much money.
Now, it's a double edged sword. Especially since we're residents of the state. And we know that this state was born on aerospace. Boeing.
Yeah, and we really kind of, you know, there's a lot of jobs here thanks to Boeing.
Right, and you know, and thanks to Boeing, and not just Boeing, but you have all these ancillary companies that feed into Boeing.
Yeah.
Parts and interior. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it. Mm-hmm. There's like, for every one Boeing job, 8 are connected to it. It's crazy. I'm serious.
The
I mean,
circle of Boeing jobs.
Boeing jobs. So, you know, when you see something like this, here's the thing. Chris, I don't think we're ever going to stop drones. You know, we're not.
No.
So I'm going to be a little greedy here. If this is going to happen here, right? Right?
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
At least we could keep an eye on it.
That's
it's in our
dirty.
Backyard.
That makes me feel dirty a little
bit. But it's
in
our backyard, right?
God, that makes me feel dirty.
Don't you want your housing value to go up?
That's like if you had a daughter and you knew she was screwing her boyfriend. Well, at least she's doing it in my house so I can keep an eye on it. Right? Or so, I don't know. Like that way I know that she's not out like getting left somewhere. I mean, where are you going with that, Chase? Like, it's like the dirtiest thing and you're just going to allow it because, well, then at least I can watch it.
Yeah,
I don't know where you're going with
then,
that, man.
But then what happens is, all right, it doesn't have, you know, it's not in my backyard. Then you're going to be a NIMBY guy. Oh, not in my backyard. I don't want it to happen here, but it's going to happen.
No, because here's the problem is, you know, you start getting hooked on that sweet, sweet drone money, and you start to have a little bit different opinion about stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, the government's been doing that forever. They, we're not going to raise taxes. We'll just continue the existing taxes. We won't get rid of them in 3 years.
Right.
I mean, this is the same game. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do? I mean, the thing is, right now, the way the economy works and the way things are, this is an industry.
Yeah. And we do need it. And it's going to be a growing industry. And you're right, drones aren't going anywhere.
No.
So something else that's not really being talked about too much is this last Monday marked a pretty big 2-year anniversary.
Oh.
Now, mass rallies have been held across Japan, calling on the government to shun nuclear power.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
2 years ago, this
Fukushima.
Monday. Yep, it was Fukushima.
More protests are expected on Monday.
More protests, by the way. More protests. Not protests, more protests.
Protests.
These gals cannot read the freaking prompter.
But they're really hot.
Yeah.
Maybe for
exactly 2 years after a huge earthquake and tsunami triggered the world's worst atomic disaster in 25 years. The quake and tsunami killed almost 19,000 people and crippled the Fukushima plant in northeastern Japan, causing meltdowns, spewing radiation, and forcing tens of thousands to flee their homes. Well, today, all but two of Japan's nuclear reactors remain switched off since the disaster. But the prime minister, whose party fosters pro-nuclear policies to modernize the nation, wants to restart those reactors and maybe even build new ones. But at the same time, the disgraced nuclear power also proves to be the cheapest among other resources. And this could be crucial for reviving the economy as fuels come at least a double prices compared to atomic energy.
So Japan right now, as a result of the disaster, shut down a bunch of their reactors, right? They had 52 nuclear reactors, which
were
taken offline.
Shut them all down but two.
Right. Then Japan scrambled to replace that lost energy production with oil-burning generators.
Oh, so let's kill the environment.
So that, not only that, but that actually, like they believe, caused some of the oil prices to rise because of the massive increase of oil use on Japan's side.
Of course, yeah, that makes sense.
So Japan's in a real tough spot here.
Right.
Because they can't just keep burning up oil like this.
That's a lot of money.
But their public doesn't want them to turn their reactors back on. So where do you fall down on this? As somebody who's well removed, but say something like this happened here. And remember, we have those leaking storage facilities right here in Washington State.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Hanford. Look it up, you guys. Hanford Nuclear Reservation. It's just nasty over there. You know what? I can't believe I'm going to drop the 9/11 bomb here, Chris.
Wow,
but,
really?
But I'm going to drop a 9/11.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Okay, ready?
Wait, hold on. Let me get in the Situation Room. All right, drop it
all
on
right,
me.
So here, when those terrorists hit the World Trade Center.
Uh-huh.
And those buildings came down.
Yeah.
What are we doing right now, Chris?
Well, we're doing a podcast.
No. But what are they doing in New York?
Building a new, like...
A new one.
Big tower.
A new big tower. I think they're calling it the Freedom Tower, right?
Yeah.
But it's going to be a brand new, we've seen the artist renditions.
It's pretty cool looking.
Memorial's very, very nice. I mean, it's going to... Valuable real estate.
Got a real big pond where
But valuable real estate was lost in that district in New York. And so they couldn't just leave it hollowed ground. They had to rebuild. They need that real estate. So when you look at Japan, you have to rebuild, aka you have to turn the reactors back on, or you just can't stop and switch to something else. They didn't set up portables outside New York because, you know, we didn't want to rebuild a building.
All right. What if I submit to you that we are only a couple hundred years away from the jungle? And I mean, you know, like in terms of technology, not obviously swinging on the trees, but like living in trees. I mean, we are like not that far out there. And here we're playing with something that if it goes wrong, the impact could be tens of thousands of years. Right? And I mean, we can't even begin to grasp that kind of long lasting impact. What do you think? Is that worth it?
Well, then why did we ever start it in the first place?
It's a tough question. You know what I say, Chase?
We want to hear your feedback. Of course, you can call us 1-425-312-1756. Leave us your thoughts, comments, maybe something we got wrong, or an idea for a future show. We want all of it, everything you can think of, or you can Skype us, Unfiltered Show, all one word. But again, the phone works the best, 1-425-312-1756. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what people out there think about nuclear energy.
What would you do
if
you were the prime minister of Japan and you shut down 50 of 52 reactors, and now your government is spending all this money on oil, and now you need to find a different way, what would you do? Mm-hmm. We want to hear from you.
And think about it, you know, we could be reaching in a situation where the U.S. is facing a very big problem of energy shortages. So what would, you know, there's big impacts there. So
but at least here in the States, you know, we're looking at many alternative means. I mean, hell, even...
And our oil productions.
I mean, in our backyard, our local PUD is looking at tidal energy.
Well, we're lucky here with hydropower.
But it's not just hydro, but I mean, we're looking at all these alternative means.
Yeah. Solar.
Solar.
Well, so I mean, are there, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Are they?
Well, actually, this is actually a really... There is some really good news for Japan.
A flame of hope in the Pacific Ocean off Japan's coast. The flare is an indication of burning gas. The company responsible for this exploration is hailing it as a breakthrough. The first time natural gas has been extracted from offshore deposits of something called methane hydrate. The substance is essentially gas that's been trapped in an icy cage of water molecules. Although it looks like packed snow, it burns like a candle when heated, earning it the nickname of flammable ice, and even fire ice.
In recent years, pilot tests have succeeded in extracting gas from methane hydrates found under land ice or permafrost, but most of the planet's deposits lies offshore. In this latest trial, a Japanese vessel drilled into an area 1,000 meters deep. Wow. When it reached the layer of deposits 300 meters below the seabed, it lowered the pressure, causing the methane and ice to separate before finally piping the gas to the surface.
This is potentially game-changing technology. Carbon from methane hydrates worldwide is believed to be double that found in all of Earth's fossil fuels. The seas around Japan alone is thought to hold enough reserves to satisfy domestic consumption anywhere from 10 to 100 years.
Bit of a range.
Natural resources are expected to grow scarcer in the years to come, so this is an absolutely essential development for Japan.
The exploration company says it's aiming for production to become commercially viable within 6 years. For Japan, now the world's largest importer of liquefied natural gas, that day can't come soon enough. Gerald Tan, Al Jazeera.
So that obviously would solve some of their issue, but you cannot convert all of those 50, and it's not just those reactors themselves, but the entire infrastructure built around that.
Right.
So there is some positive stuff there, but it's still, I don't know, Chase. I would really like to hear what people think about it.
Absolutely. I want to know what you'd be pulling.
I have a little,
whoa!
Look out, it's a little off-the-record drone update. Here's another story that nobody's really covering. It seems to be a theme this week. I think...
With the debate about drone transparency well underway here in the United States, it seems that the U.S. has stopped reporting on Afghan drone strikes.
What? Why,
you may ask?
That's what I was asking.
Well, Senator Rand Paul's filibuster last week showed that the public was in favor of clarifying drone strikes at home, as our last guest just mentioned. But the Air Force doesn't think that the same standards apply abroad. The U.S. Air Force said Sunday that it will no longer provide information about airstrikes carried out by unmanned aerial vehicles in Afghanistan. In a statement made by the U.S. Central Command, the information was reportedly removed because it disproportionately focused on the use of weapons operated by remotely piloted aircrafts. So in other words, the data they were gathering was paying too much attention on Afghan drone strikes being carried out. So they stopped reporting on them altogether. Now, back in October...
Makes sense to me, right?
Just not talk about it.
...where Air Force chiefs started posting data on drone strikes in order to provide more details on the use of Afghan drones in Afghanistan. However, that seems that the information flowing has finally stopped.
You know what that is? That's a little jealousy, because, well, the CIA doesn't have to report who they kill.
So why should we have to? It's not fair.
Not fair. Well, Chase, before we get out of here, we got an email.
Yeah.
And it was on the topic of gun control, which is something that, you know, has obviously been on the forefront of people's minds for a long time now.
Yeah, this came from Sideways Sine from the IRC, writes in, "Hi, Chase and Chris. I know it's not the main topic being discussed at the moment, but I thought... you might find the following statistics from a 2010 study interesting. U.S. population in 2010 is 308 million. The total number of deaths in 2010, 2.4 million. Deaths by homicide, 16,259. Of those, 11,000 were due to discharge of firearms. That means all of the outcry for gun control is over a mere 0.45% of all the deaths in the U.S., who are a total of 0.003% of the U.S. population. But we can go further to show how much an issue gun violence is in my comparison. Death by suicide, 38,364. Of those, 19,362 were due to a discharge of firearms. Deaths by heart disease, 597,000. Death by falls, 26,000. Deaths by accidental discharge of firearms, 606. Which means you are more likely to kill yourself with a 50% chance that you'll use a gun than you are to be killed by someone else. I'm neither an American. I live happily in Norway without any guns or a fan of guns. However, I think it's a safe for me to say that you Americans are focusing on the wrong issue. Anyhow, keep up the great work. I followed Unfilter since the beginning, and I also plan to tune into TechSnap, Last, Coda Radio, SciPy, and The Faux Show, just in case Chris was planning on recommending me to watch those as well. Best regards, Sideways, from the IRC. By the way, his miscalculations are his, and he pulled these all from a 2010 deaths release from the CDC. So there is
attribution.
Yes.
It's not Bilbo points out that it's sort of a apples to oranges comparison in some regards, and I do tend to agree. However, as time has allowed me to think more about it, I have become a little more skeptical of the sort of insistent focus on the quote unquote assault weapons when they do seem to be disproportionately so minor. And of course,
we've talked about that.
Argument's always been but they can kill in large swaths at a time. Blah blah blah.
But we got to get them off the street first.
Right, got to get them off the street. So I don't know. You know, folks, one other thing before we go.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, Chase, we made a video recommendation, manufacturing consent. I got a chance to watch that. We haven't had a chance to talk about it. Yeah. It was on Amazon Prime. It's linked a couple of weeks back. Turns out to be an amazing advertisement for the show, really. Because it's really about these guys who killed themselves, not really, but really worked very hard to collect information that we can now collect with utilities like subreddits.
Right.
And they really struggle. Like, they talk about how independent media was going to be so vital, and the only real hope in their minds, because it was pre-internet, was local terrestrial broadcast or low-circulation magazines. And they would have died to have a platform like we have now. So if you haven't got a chance to go see Manufacturing Consent, it's linked a few episodes back in the show notes, or you can go search for it on Amazon or probably on Netflix for streaming.
Yep. Yeah. And if you got Prime, free.
It's free.
Free.
All right, Mr. Chase, speaking of the subreddit.
Yeah, there's something called a subreddit where, you know, you can participate, even if you can't afford your monthly contribution and being part of this exclusivity.
Yeah.
Of getting that pre-show audio.
Right, as we're wrapping up right now, if you're an Unfilter supporter, you know you got a lot more show coming in your inbox.
But
right
now, if times are tough.
There's still ways you can help out.
Absolutely. You can head over to unfilter.reddit.com where you can participate. You can submit stories, you can vote them up, vote them down if they suck. Also, you can put comments in.
Yeah.
They are read.
Always glad to get your perspective on a story because, you know, we always consider everything.
Now, Chris, I know you are fearful that your Twitter account could get hacked.
Yeah.
But just in case it does and people want to keep an eye on it for you, where can they go?
Twitter.com/ChrisLAS.
That stands for Linux Action Show.
You know, you got that right. Yeah, because that was like the only show I had back then when Twitter was a thing.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's a long time ago. What about you, Mr. Chase? You on the Twitters?
You know what? Yeah, and my Twitter is not hacked at this point.
Good.
And you can follow me there at Nunes, N-U-N-E-S, where I talk about gaming, technology, and coffee.
Changing lives.
That's right, all the time.
And also podcasting.
That's right. I do internet broadcasting at geekgamer.tv, where we've just switched over to a new dedicated server.
Boom.
Downloads are faster.
Nice.
And
what?
We did an awesome show about pinball on Sunday. So if you're a pinball fan, Geek Gamer Weekly 231 was all about pinball.
That's the one to see.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, don't forget, you can always join us live. We'd love to have you live, and you also get all of those exclusive clips.
Sitting down with the President Obama?
Just join us over at jblive.tv Wednesdays.
Not while I'm speaking.
6:30 p.m. Pacific.
That's right.
And
9:30 East.
Of course, we always appreciate you supporting the shows by using our affiliate links, which are down at the bottom of the Jupiter Broadcasting website or our browser plugins.
Oh, man. What a show. I can't wait. Can I say this part?
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys again next week.